guest is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday in Brevard County, Florida, and we are blessed to be here. Amen. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and you have tuned in today to WMIE 91.5 FM, 8:30 and 5 o'clock of an evening. The Refresh Radio program is brought to you right here on this wonderful station, 10:30 of a morning. It's rebroadcast over at WWBC 1510 AM. So I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merit Island, Florida. People keep asking, are you all back open yet? And the answer is yes. We have been open. We have our chairs set out to in family units that you could sit in safe proximity to nobody. you got more than 6 feet between people, and so we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. I will be preaching Sunday morning, and we are excited about that. It is the enjoyable part of the ministry. So we would love to have you come and visit us if you do not have a church home and are looking to grow in your faith. So today I want to say thank you to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. That will get you in contact with Bill with Creative AC Solutions. His territory, he's pretty much operates in the central Brevard County. So if you're down south, that's probably out of the area that he is able to travel to in an efficient manner. But if you're in central Brevard County, Cocoa Beach, Port Canaveral, Merritt Island, probably Port St. John, maybe Rockledge, and you've got an AC problem, you could give him a call and he can come out and put his decades of experience to work for you. Figure out if you have a major problem, a minor problem, or no problem. He can tell you whether it is a mechanical issue or if it's just a maintenance issue. And he can tell you if your system is got some future in it, or if you need to start saving your nickels and dimes. Whichever way works out for you, you can give him a call, and he will come out and give you an honest assessment. If it's broken, he can either fix it or tell you it can't be fixed, and it will not be an upsell or anything like that. He will simply be there to tell you the truth. Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. If you call them, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So yesterday, I talked to you about some of the philosophies that the world uses to try and convince people to come over to their way of thinking. Paul said, I'm going to set aside those. I'm going to set aside the excellence of speech. I'm going to set aside the persuasive words of human wisdom, and I'm not going to use the wisdom of the world to try and build a foundation for faith. Well, what did he preach? What was the wisdom of God? And this is what we should be seeking to do. He said, for I determined, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I believe that is absolutely essential when you are dealing with people who do not know about Jesus. You need to display and demonstrate the life-transforming power of grace that Jesus brought into your life. Okay? He said, I talked to you about Jesus Christ. I let you know that he went to the cross, that he didn't go to the cross because of his own sin. He went to the cross because of my sin and because of your sin, and that someone had to pay the price for our offense against God. He did all of that, and he did it in the right attitude. So, you know, in churches now, we're looking to hear something brand new, something fresh, something we've never heard before. And Paul said, look, when I was dealing with you in a condition of unbelief, it was two things. It was Jesus Christ, the anointed one of God, the Son of God, and the fact that he was crucified for you and for me. It is a powerful, powerful message. I remember back when my wife and I got married, and we had some coworkers that went to a different church than what we did, and they were letting us know about this Assembly of God minister from another part of the world that was actually coming to Tulsa, and they were going to be preaching. They said, "Do you want to go?" I said, "Sure." We went. This person happened to pastor the largest church in the world at that particular time. And so everybody from Tulsa, now in Tulsa, you've got Oral Roberts University, which is a Bible college, and you've got, at that point in time, Rhema Bible College, which was another Bible college. It was in Broken Arrow, but was right next door. You had these powerful learning institutions, as well as significant churches throughout that region, and you know, it's right there in the midst of the Bible Belt. And so we went. It was not at a church campus. It was at the largest gathering conference center that they had to offer at that point in time. And they had this pastor, and they turned the message over to him. And he got up there, and he preached a three-point salvation message. He preached something that many of those people had heard over and over and over again. And I'm sure that a number of them went away disappointed. I didn't hear anything earth-shattering. I didn't hear anything, you know, with major revelation that is going to leave me just absolutely, you know, thrilled in my spirit. That would be the mindset that some of the people went away with, because it was strictly a foundational message. And I came away with a different take. I came away from that meeting with this. I wonder if that ministry style is the reason that his church leads so many people to Jesus. And in America, where we're always looking for the latest, the greatest, the newest thing to come down the pike, if that's not why he's seen massive amounts of souls being saved and we're not. Now, the last thing the world system of wisdom would want to proclaim is about the person that they're espousing to you dies an inglorious death, a painful death. They wouldn't want to talk about that, because that would be deemed as a defeat, where we'll see a little bit later that in the spirit realm, crucifixion was not a sign of defeat. It was a sign of ultimate victory. So the second thing is, when Paul was there and he was ministering, he didn't minister from a position of power and commanding, but he says, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." You say, "What in the world has that got to do with anything?" Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to experience leanness of soul. I don't want to be operating from a disconnect with God spiritually. And Paul realized that he in himself was powerless to bring about their salvation from a human wisdom aspect. And so there's a weakness there. If I can't do it from my human condition, then I've got to minister from a dependence upon God's strength and his strength is made perfect in weakness. His grace is made perfect in weakness. He said, I was there in fear. Well, what's that got to do with anything? I don't know about you, but I don't want to see anybody split hell wide open. I'm of the mindset that this is a eternal altering decision. I don't want to do anything that's going to mess it up. That's a very humbling mindset to take. He says, in fear and in much trembling, and then he talks about his speech, and he said this. This is the point that we concluded with yesterday. He said that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he preached Christ crucified, resurrected from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and that the Holy Spirit was powerful enough to change a human life. So it was the power of God, not the power of Paul. It was the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of men. So that was the way that Paul ministered, not with the wisdom of excellent speech and persuasive words and the faith and the wisdom of men, but it was Christ crucified, being used by a weak, trembling human vessel who is demonstrating the power of the Spirit. It was wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I've told our church this. If we want to see signs and wonders taking place, which God is still doing signs and wonders to this day, then we need to make sure that we are inviting unbelievers into the house, because the demonstration of the Spirit, the demonstration of the power of God, the omnipotence of God, it is designed to take place in the midst of people who do not know Jesus, so that they see that there is something not just superior in wisdom, but supernatural in power. There's a poll that I saw a couple of weeks ago where the majority of Americans that responded to this poll said that they do not believe in the supernatural, good or evil. Either way, they don't believe in the supernatural anymore. Well, that is a mindset that the world has developed to prevent them from coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there needs to be an encounter with God. There needs to be an encounter with God. Every Sunday morning, we have a prayer time. And the reason that we have prayer time is not because we're looking for a time filler, but because we want to give God the opportunity to move in a supernatural way. So that's the thing. It is, with unbelievers, it is the demonstration of the power of God. It's the visible encounter that there is someone that is superior, someone who is more powerful, and a supernatural loving God. Okay? Now, how does Paul operate with a mature group of believers? Verse number 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So yesterday I was talking about reasons, and one of the reasons that Paul did not use the wisdom of this world is because it was coming to nothing. The end result of it was a big fat zero. So I liked, when we had television, to watch some of these scientific theorists out there. And if you watched enough programs, they would tell you conflicting things. Well, this is what is going on. And then later on, if you watched another program, they say, yeah, that really isn't going to work because we've seen this going on. And there was this debate back and forth. And, you know, one of them I watched, they said that really what is going on with our planet is that we are moving in a direction right now. The distance from the sun shifts back and forth, and right now it's not in a perfect oval. It's in an elliptical shape, and it fluctuates. And right now we are in a fluctuation that is causing things to heat up a little bit. And I sat there and I watched that, and I said, but that's not the wisdom that other people are talking about. I would like to share that thought with these people. The wisdom of this world is coming to nothing. There are a lot of people who are spending all of their time, all of their life, all of their resources, all of their gifts, and they're chasing things that are not going to make a difference in their life or anybody else's life. You want to make a difference, you need to chase Jesus. You need to seek Jesus. You need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and watch the meaning and the significance and the purpose of life become a reality in your life. So Paul says, we speak wisdom of God to those who are mature. Now, every baby is designed to mature. Okay? It is a baby that is born is meant to grow. From conception on, there is to be growth, there is supposed to be development, but there comes a time when our physiological being stops expanding, except for our waistline from time to time. But we are to grow in wisdom and stature. We are to grow in favor with God and with man. Okay? So once you become a believer in Jesus Christ, that is not the end of the development. That is actually just positioned you to the launch pad, where you are going to be asked to be launched into growing in the wisdom of God. A lot of people, they think, well, I said a prayer, that must be it. No, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Too many people never lead another person to Jesus. They never allow the signs and wonders. Remember those signs and wonders that we talked about that are to be demonstrated to unbelievers? Well, how does that happen? Well, if you go back to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and verse number 15, it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow or accompany those who believe." Accompany is a different translation. "In my name they will cast out demons. There will be spiritual authority over demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents or encounter deadly. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So the unbelievers are, God expects that they're going to encounter the supernatural ministry of God. Well, how is that going to take place? Well, it's going to take place because new believers mature, and they know a lot of unbelievers, and now they get to walk the life of a new believer, walk in the Holy Spirit of God, and they walk with the signs and wonders of God accompanying them. And unbelievers outside the four walls of the church see these demonstrations of the Spirit's power, and they come to faith in Jesus Christ. So we are not intended to walk around in folly or foolishness. We're supposed to be walking in the wisdom of God, growing in the wisdom of God. Let me ask you, have you learned anything new spiritually so far this year? And I know that, probably the time person of the year is going to be the coronavirus or Dr. Fauci or something to do with coronavirus. But you and I, and even with all of the disruptions, we've got something that we need to learn. We need to be constantly growing, and it needs to be not just worldly wisdom, but it needs to be spiritual wisdom. So I had a person, they called and asked me some questions and for a class assignment that they had. And they asked about how do you balance leadership and your family time and all of that sort of stuff. And I said, you've got to be intentional about it. You've got to be intentional about it. Well, that's a word that God spoke to me earlier this year, and it has to do with making sure that I get my day of rest, because a lot of times we look at some of the commands of God as optional, and really they're not optional. And Sunday is not a day of physical rest for me. It's the day that the rest of my week revolves around. So that is what I'm striving to be at my peak performance for. So because I want to be, I adjust my sleep time and all of that sort of stuff. But there have been times when I have neglected God's command about honoring the Sabbath, and God spoke to me and he said this. He said, my command to honor the Sabbath is just as important as the other commands that I have given you. Don't treat it as an option. Be intentional about taking it. And so I've tried to operate in the wisdom. And I don't know if I hadn't done that, whether I had been surviving this year very well at all. He says, when you're among the mature, you do not use the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. The wisdom of God was something that was put in place before you and I ever came into existence. That's the wisdom that we need. Now, got about 5 minutes here. So I'm going to take you to verse number 8 this morning, because this is the wisdom of God being shown superior to the wisdom of the enemy. And I will tell you about a testimony about this passage that God spoke to me. Verse number 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So there were several things that the wisdom of this world, the rulers of this world, the rulers of this age, put into place when they were arresting and crucifying Jesus. Okay, one, they're a threat to Caesar. Okay, the religious leadership said it's better for one man to die than the whole group of people. There were other people that said, if he goes on like this, we're going to lose our authority and our position. So for the wisdom of this world, it was the wisdom of self-preservation. The wisdom that Jesus operated with was the wisdom of sacrifice, so that you and I could be reconciled to the Father. He said, the rulers did not comprehend the wisdom that God was going to put in place. They did not have any idea what God was going to do. Okay. When I played chess, I haven't played that much in a long, long time. But the thing about chess is you would make a move that would already be taking into account the move that your opponent might be making. The enemy thought that they had outsmarted God. They thought that the ambush in Gethsemane was a surprise, but it really wasn't. Now, it says, "For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." What didn't they know? They didn't know about the resurrection. They did not know about Jesus taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave. They did not know about the ascension to the Father. They did not know about the creation of the church. They thought that if they took out Jesus, that all the sheep would be scattered. They didn't know that by crucifying Jesus, the sheep would actually be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work of the ministry. They didn't realize that they had taken one person who was operating in one place at one time, and now that person was empowering the church to do greater things than he did, not in magnitude, but in multitude, that they were going to be dispatched across the globe, and that every time it looked like a defeat, it was actually going to turn out to a victory, that God was going to do great and mighty things. They didn't realize that what they thought was destroying the plan of God was actually promoting the plan of God that was going to touch the world with the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God is always superior to the wisdom of man. So I was going through a time in my life. I was praying for this specific individual who had been a person of faith, and now they were not living as a person of faith. And I came to this passage, and God said, "Look, the enemy thought that he had gained a victory, but actually the kingdom of God just advanced powerfully at the crucifixion of Jesus. Here's how I want you to pray. I want you to pray for this individual that when they come back to faith, that they come back to faith so on fire for God, so transformed by the Spirit of God, so in love with God, impacting so many lives for the glory of God, that just like in Jesus' crucifixion, the devil regrets that he ever laid a hand on this individual." I challenge you, you can pray that prayer for your prodigals, and God will bring them home and do a great thing. See you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."